All right, everybody, welcome back to the College Basketball Show, and we're joined by a special guest. I'll get to him in a moment. First, as always, my co-host, Spencer Luganbill, host of Redboard Rewind. Spencer, thanks for joining in. Thanks for showing up this week. Appreciate it.
Doesn't even give me a chance to apologize. Listen, it's the holidays, and I forgot about the Christmas parade / tree lighting that I promised the fiance about 6 months ago. Sorry, I didn't put it in my calendar. Stew,
that sounds horrific.
Trust me, it was just about as bad as playing Pepperdine versus San Jose State tonight.
That's you need to seek help. Before we get into our guests, we got Chalkboard app. We got to talk about it every single day. Me and Spencer putting out picks. Check it out, Chalkboard. Odds, honest truth. Check it out. Good stuff. Our guest, I've been alluding to him. He's a friend of the show. He's back for second time on this program, talking college basketball this year. He is the great, the leader, the man, the myth, the legend, the great Jim Root of Three Man Weave. Jim, it's so good to see your beautiful face every single time. So much better than seeing Kai or Matt. They're just always, they got frowny faces. You got a happy face.
Yeah, we don't like those two. I'm 1.5 of the Three Man Weave. They're the other 1.5.
To be honest,
I don't even combine the two.
But to be honest, I just say they throw you the ball in the post. They're racking up assist numbers. You're getting the points. You're getting the cheerleaders. I mean you've been on fire with your best bets this past week. I mean, the key debts win yesterday.
Yeah, just name it Jim Root. The one year we're not tracking them by individual records.
I know. Just
I might look great, but you know, the knock on wood. I'm about to go on a swoon, I'm sure. But yeah, it's been a nice stretch so far.
For folks who don't know, Field of 68, phenomenal YouTube subscription. Almost every single day, you guys are on with best bets. You push out the schedule on your Twitter.
@3MW_CBB.
3MW_CBB. I almost had it memorized. I thought I did. And that was like, I was getting the website 3-man-weave.com.
There we
I was
go.
Getting there that was, mess.
There was a time when our Twitter was _3MW_, and it was terrible. And impossible to remember. You didn't know what it would refer to. We at least upgraded to get the CBB, the college basketball, in there to give a hint as to what we're about, at least.
Makes sense. But you guys are doing the Lord's work, going through. And that show, I mean, seriously, for folks that are looking for some content during the day and they're not working for a place that bans YouTube, that is a perfect companion to your workday. You guys are doing great. That show's just fire, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, just talk through as many games as possible. We have a chat section twice in the show. So if there's a specific game you're curious about, get the question in the chat and we'll discuss it. We're freaks, so we can talk about any game off the cuff. We will be ready. So just come with questions and we'll be ready for it.
You got to give them another heads up too, Stu. They were part of the, now I think it was the top 40 under 40 influential.
Yes, college. Congratulations. That's very belated, but good point.
Thank you. Yeah, the Athletic had the list of the top 40 under 40 in college basketball, and we were a combined one entry. So, you know, technically there were 42 on the list, but we were three of them, so I'll take it.
That's excellent, man. I'm happy for you guys. Again, Three Man Weave, Field of 68. Go subscribe on YouTube. You'll be thankful you did, because you'll make some money like I did yesterday. Spencer, we're talking about questions, much like you guys, Jim, open up the show with, you know, just kind of some banter about what's going on in the world of college basketball. Spencer, I know you got a question or two.
It's not so much a question, just so much. I've been trying to watch more and more games, and obviously I caught the Purdue game. I think it was against Florida State the other week. What do you do with that man down low? Good Lord Almighty. It's like watching Yao Ming play in the NBA.
It's not Zach fair, Edey, really. Zach Edey, yeah, he's 7'4" Canadian for Purdue.
Good.
He's a monster, and he's gotten like a lot more skill this year. He still moves a little bit like a giant. You know, the reflexes and the suddenness of his movements. He's not super quick, but he's just huge. He's powerful. He's aggressive. And so you have to double or you have to front the post and have a weak side guy slide in. And the problem is Purdue is one of the five best three-point shooting teams in the entire country. So if you're sagging, if you're helping, they're going to kick it out. They have great ball movement. They find shooters. They've been torching teams with that this year. They had that little lull against Iowa in the second half where the press of Iowa got them a little uncomfortable. And I think maybe teams are going to have to look at that, you know, try to take advantage of them, take the ball before they can even get it inside. Turnovers could be key, but it's easier said than done with that team. They're deep. They have pretty decent backcourt experience. So Purdue is rightfully number one in the AP poll right now.
You touched on it, I believe Saturday night after dark on Field 68, and it's on the YouTube page, but I don't want to rehash, but man, what the hell's going on at Memphis? Penny is just, what was that comment of talking about if we only had guys that really cared, if I could only play them? What does that mean?
He said, if I only played the guys that cared, we'd be undefeated, which they have three losses to the team picked to finish last in the Big 12, the team picked to finish last in the SEC, and like the 10th place team in the SEC. So I'm skeptical of your undefeated claim, Mr. Hardaway, first of all. But then just like the manner in which he's doing all this stuff, his comments read like, man, these guys, they just have no leader. Like the upperclassmen are clashing with the underclassmen. And it's like, ah, man, if only they had a coach that would actually unite the team and find a way to get these guys to buy in. Like that's sort of on Hardaway. That's your job. You built this roster. You have to get the guys to get along. Like you don't just expect them to figure it out. He's kind of doing the whole like finger pointing thing. And you can't do that as the head coach. It's not a good look. And it's reflective of the way his teams play.
Do you think also kind of, sorry, let's cut you off, Stu, but yeah, maybe like the older class are kind of like not jealous, but obviously, I mean, when you bring in the five stars, you know, obviously in some way or another, it's kind of like when you look at, just use a soccer reference, when someone comes in off the transfer market, you know, and they're, you know, a striker and you're the main striker for the team, your job's in jeopardy. Like, you know, is this guy coming in to take your job or not take your job? The way I read it was more of like just an ass kicking. It was kind of just like, let's go guys, get your shit in gear. I'm not going to hold your hand. You know, we were a ranked team to start off the season. Come together. I'm going to force you guys to come together after we lose two or three more games. But I kind of tend to agree with you that the three losses were a little bit sketchy on my end as well.
Yeah. Well, and like to go on that soccer comparison, I get that. Like if you're one of the, you know, guys that won the NIT title last year, which they did, and that was supposed to be a big launching point for them. And suddenly you're ceding minutes and shots to these young guys. I can see why that would upset you, especially because the young guys are not making those shots and they're turning the ball over. And if you're seeing the young up and comers that you think are just playing for their draft stock not succeed, it makes sense. Like your brain is going to go to the point of like, let's play the lineup last year that won. DeAndre Williams, play through him, get Quiñones and Landers Nolly shooting on the wing, Womack's running the point. That worked. The problem is to get to their ceiling, they need to find a way to get these freshmen embedded in the culture and together in a team. And right now that doesn't seem likely. I know that a couple of the guys in that locker room have big egos, and I just don't think Hardaway is going to be the guy that gets them to swallow those egos. So I am very bearish on Memphis for the rest of the season.
You know, it's not like any one of those young kids had a high school created just for him. So we'll be tracking that. Memphis might be a play against for a little bit. I know I did with Ole Miss on this weekend. I want to transfer to another team here, another mid-major power. What the hell's going on in Spokane? I mean, we may joke about Kai a little bit, but I believe he was all over this Alabama line on Saturday night. I believe it was Kai.
It was, yes. Matt played Alabama. Unfortunately.
I'm so sorry, Matt. but Matt hit it, and wow, Gonzaga was just never really in that game. Alabama played, I mean, amazing. What we kind of would have expected from Alabama maybe later in the season, but Nate Oates, the great Nate Oates, the future Michigan State coach, he's really got this team humming around.
Yeah, and I didn't expect that really, especially after the loss to Iona, where the Gales really took them out of what they want to do. The odd thing for Gonzaga is that for multiple years, they've had like the best transition attack in the country. If they are playing in the open floor, they're going to murder you. They're a buzzsaw. They get layups. Their ball movement's great. They've got trail shooters that can knock down shots. And they played a transition game against Duke and they lost. And they played a transition game against Alabama and they lost. The questions definitely start to arise after that. I mean, like, they obviously stomped Texas at home. They stomped UCLA on a neutral floor. So this team's not like hopeless. They're still a top 10 team. They've lost to two other top 10 teams. There's no huge shame in that. But they've got some issues to work out, especially defensively. I think their perimeter defenders on the wing don't keep guys in front the way they need to. Rozier Bolton, I think, has some struggles with that. Off the bench, they've got two freshmen with Hickman and Salas that aren't as strong keeping guys in front. So that is a question mark for them. They've got to figure that out. Maybe Dominic Harris getting healthy helps a little bit, but I think it's just got to be internal improvement. And fortunately for them, this is like the best the WCC has ever been. So, you know, people out there may not believe it if you're, you know, just kind of like checking in casually on college hoops, but this is a really good league this year. Gonzaga will be tested. It's not the normal year where they can kind of sail through that. I think they will continue to get better, and they're still definitely a threat to win the national title, but it's hard to call them the favorite after those two losses.
All righty. Well, enough with the review. We hope we got you set up, ready to go going forward. We're going to take a look at a few games on Tuesday, as you hear this either today or tonight as it's released. Spencer, why don't you lead us off with a game that you're eyeing?
All right. So I believe I used this team already once in the podcast, so I'm going back to the well. I'm going to go with Yale over University of Albany, about an hour away from Albany. KenPom says I think it's a 14-point spread. We don't have spreads yet today. But, I mean, just overall, when you look at Albany, they have one win. It was on, I believe, also a neutral floor against a bottom 15 KenPom team. That's not going to get done against a team that's supposed to do very well in the Ivy this year. Yale likes to allow a little bit more three-point shooting than most teams. Albany shoots 29% from three. That's a plus in my area. Albany kind of plays a more aggressive defense, need to get some steals. Yale sometimes can be a little bit careless with the ball. Azir Swain for Yale, I mean, 5 of 6 with 20+, 9 of 10, he has 10+ points. I just like Yale in this spot, especially with, like I said, only one win so far for Albany. First year coach, after having a coach who had been there for so long. I mean, when I look through all these analytics, I mean, they just have poor shooting in all three levels and poor offensive rebounding. So if you're not going to make the shot and can't get the rebound, you're in for a long night.
I love that you brought this up, because I had a discussion internally with Matt about Albany today. We were like, is Albany really, really bad? Like, just looking through their results, I mean, blown out by Towson, lost at home to Harvard, barely beat Eastern Illinois, who is bottom five in the country. Like, yeah. They're real bad. Couldn't do any sort of thing to hang around with Kansas State. I think Albany they have some issues. And Yale's coming off that loss at Auburn, where they got completely outclassed athletically. That's not something Albany can do to them. If you can't out-athlete Yale, then you have problems, because they execute so well. They're really well coached. They take care of the ball to a solid, like, they're 31st in turnover rate. So I think they can handle a little bit of pressure here. And traditionally they can shoot, and Albany's going to give them some open jumpers. I like Yale a lot as a bounce back here as well. Albany's just a team that I'm looking to fade until they really perk up and show some real signs of life. And Yale's good enough and well coached enough to beat them by 15 to 20.
And being from the Ivy League, I'm pretty sure they're smarter than the guys from UAlbany as well.
Hey, I can't speak to UAlbany. I don't want to get myself in trouble here.
They call it the Harvard of Northern New York.
No, they do not.
That's what they say. Some people say it. Some people do.
Do you say that, Stu? Are you saying that?
I don't. I know people who may.
All right.
Stu, the last time I was at UAlbany was for a lacrosse game in my internship, and I thought it was going to be the first time for me working the camera on the sideline. First of all, it was a downpour, and I was not the camera guy. I was the guy carrying the wire behind the camera guy. So I just hate UAlbany for all those facets right there.
Choose a better profession. I'm going to go with the team that I've been following. I'm on the wagon. My coach, Greg Campy, and the Fighting Golden Grizz. I love this team. They've been so good defensively. I know they were number one, Jim, in RPI. I don't know if they're still top five, top 10, after they just demolished the Jags of Indiana. But this team is just it's clicking on all cylinders. Defensively, Jamal Cain, Jalen Moore. I mean, you got a ton of talent here, and I think they're going to be real competitive in the horizon. But they go on to take Bowling Green, and I'm really curious how this pace plays out, because Bowling Green has really been aggressive in transition. And I'm curious what the over-under might be, because I might be looking at the over. What say you, Undertaker?
Man, that's a good one. It's tough because I think both like to run offensively, but Oakland's one of the teams that can actually control tempo a little bit with their defense because they zone. And the zone's been really, really effective this year. Yep. No one's made threes.
I think you made the point earlier this year that last year, like, Oakland was just an over machine because their defense was non-existent.
It was terrible. It was so bad. I made fun of it constantly.
Oh, God, it was so horrific. But this year, seems like Coach Campy has really got this team focused on playing that zone. But like you said, in a game like this, when there is a ton, they're going to run if Bowling Green wants to run. And I feel like that's what Bowling Green has to do. Do you find like some value in teams with this kind of pace setup where it's like, oh, we know they have a good defense, they'll lock them down, right?
Sort of. It's tough because I the thing I do like to look at for tempo a lot is the offensive possession length, like I mentioned, and they're both fast. So you'd think KenPom's got a projected 72 possessions. It could play over that because both want to run. The concern though is that Oakland zone. If you don't beat it down the floor, your possessions will probably be very long because you got to work around to get a shot unless you're going to take an early one. Those aren't always the best way to beat zones. You got to be patient. So that's, I have a dilemma there. The one thing that confuses me here with how to handicap it is Oakland just played two conference games. So how much are they hyped to go to Bowling Green here? Like the conference games are really what matter in the Horizon League, in a one bid league. Now they're playing a team that's, it's not an in-state rival. It's not like, it's not a conference game. So are they going to be fully locked in and engaged? And Oakland doesn't have much of a bench. They're 356th in the country in bench minutes. So do they try to rotate different guys in? I have a hard time reading that. It's Oakland or nothing for me, because I think Oakland's awesome this year and I don't want to get in the way, but I'm just a little bit concerned with where we're going to see from them on an effort perspective.
That's a fair point. And Bowling Green is, some people call it the Harvard of Northern Ohio. Some people say that. So, Jim, on that note, and that's a very astute observation, what's a game you're interested in tomorrow?
Oh, boy. I didn't come prepared. Let me see. Let me glance through it real quick. All right. I'll go with literally the first one on the betting board, actually. It's early tip, 3:30 Eastern. Or maybe that's 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. Sorry. James Madison hosting Virginia, which is rare to see, obviously a power conference team going on the road, but this is an in-state rival. James Madison has never beaten Virginia. So I promise you, this is going to be a hype home spot for the Dukes. You told Spencer to seek help earlier. How about this? I was on the James Madison message boards earlier today.
Well, it's your job. I mean, you were on the Portland message boards last year. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I was. They had a couple guys miss their non-D1 game recently against Eastern Mennonite. So I wanted to make sure they were playing. But
powerhouse.
The board is hyped for this Virginia game. They're talking about the sellout. It's going to be there. And Virginia's offense as a favorite, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I think this James Madison team is as close to as talented. Maybe Virginia is just not in the upper echelon of talent this year. And they're going to try to slow the game down, but James Madison can defend. They've got quality athletes to match them. I think James Madison wins outright in a big home hype spot, gets their first win over Big Brother. I guess it's going to be around +5, +6. And I would definitely take that with a sprinkle on the money line for the Dukes.
Beautiful. I like the Dukes there as well. Spencer, what you got?
So I'm actually going to a game for Wednesday. Give me Youngstown State. Give me the Penguins, my assigning against Central Michigan. I just kind of feel overall, just when looking through all the KenPom stuff, Youngstown State, they're 12th in turnover percentage, 65th offensive rebound percentage, top 75 in three-point percentage. And when you have a line 9, 10, 12 points, it's only really three possessions when you're shooting so well from three like that. And I just kind of wonder, just overall looking also at Central Michigan, 342 in defense off or in defensive efficiency. Everything is just red down their board. And when you see a couple greens over there for Youngstown State, I just wonder if just 9 is probably too short. It probably isn't 9 going off the KenPom thing. It'll probably end up being more like 12, 13. I still like Youngstown State in this matchup. I just think that they match up really, really well. They know how to stay, have a high steal rate as well. They're top 50 in free throw percentage. I think they just kind of mash this team really, really easily.
Central Michigan is the worst defense I've watched this year. And I have watched Swack Ball. I've watched Miak Ball. I've watched
is Western Michigan in there as well?
Western's close, but Central Michigan is legitimately a layup line. And if you are averse to layups, you can get an open three whenever you want. It's appalling. I think I went through and they basically give up 40 to 50 in every first half. And sometimes teams lay off and don't score. Like Kentucky, I think, had 51 in the first half and only 34 in the second half because they had clearly pulled the foot off the gas pedal. I think this defense is worse than 342nd. Like it is Mississippi Valley State.
Western Illinois looked like, it looked like Duke out there, I guess.
They looked like the 92 Dream Team. Yeah, it was unbelievable. They just got whatever they wanted. I think Western Illinois was up 59-31 at halftime.
Yeah.
That tells you how bad Central Michigan's defense is. I have a hard time telling you not to fade Central Michigan right now. I just don't think their value has cratered to the basement where it belongs. And Youngstown, while they're not a team I think of as like a dominant favorite, just because they haven't been a favorite frequently, they're better than Central Michigan. So I encourage any fading of the Chippewas.
I'll go up with a late night game, and I hate the Pac-12. It's my least favorite conference in the country, football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I hate it. I hate the Pac-12. I'm sorry.
Does it Jim. Have hockey teams?
Arizona State. I hate it. But I'm gonna take USC to cover against Eastern Kentucky, and I really do like the over there because Eastern Kentucky, they are, if nothing, consistent. I think they give up a ton of points. That game against Western Kentucky, talk about layup lines, that's what that certainly felt like. In spurts, and USC just has enough talent. And I still feel like Eastern Kentucky is going to get, I think you might get a reasonable line off this. Spencer, can you look up what that is on KenPom?
It's 21 on KenPom, which seems extraordinarily high to me.
Especially for a team that very much well could win the A-Sun. I mean, yeah. If some things shake right for them.
And I think the point you kind of hinted at, Eastern Kentucky runs. Like they are up and down. And if you're playing a team that's immensely more talented, like USC is, and you hand them 75 to 80 possessions, like that's how you don't cover. So USC is a team I was hesitant to buy in on early this year because I thought losing Evan Mobley would kind of not crush them, but the previous track record of Enfield was like 50th in KenPom. So he wasn't like a consistent top 25 guy, but I've watched USC and I have come to the realization that I was incorrect. And this team is a wagon, especially defensively. Unless Eastern Kentucky is hot from outside, they're not going to score because they're not scoring in the paint in this one. And on the other end, Eastern Kentucky is poor guarding the rim. They because they press so much, if you beat that first line, you have like 2-on-1s and 3-on-1s consistently. USC is point guard play isn't my favorite aspect of that team, but I think they're going to be able to take care of business here. And it's a long, long travel for Eastern Kentucky after a heartbreaking loss in a rivalry game to Western Kentucky. I think you probably have the right side there.
Jim, why don't you take us home? Is there one game? Are you looking at the fighting Colin Gillespie's? Are you, Are you looking for something obscure, like Sacred Heart? Where are you going to go?
Oh boy. I'll try to give you something big. Oh, you know what? Here's what I got to do, Stu. I got to end by fading my Missouri Tigers.
Oh, they're Jesus. Bad. Okay. Before you even start, Spencer, do you want to, he gives out two plays in the chalkboard odds on his truth app, and he goes Missouri plus 5.5. And I started laughing to myself. I didn't have the heart because he's trying the analytics deal, and maybe Ken Pom says something. I told everybody and their brother bet Liberty except him because he needs to learn.
I do need to learn a little bit. It was just one of those games where I'm like, oh, let me check it, like the 10-minute mark in the first half, and I threw my phone across.
Yeah,
it's dead,
completely over.
So, like, Missouri has no offensive talent. That's like the heart of the issue, the problem for them. They can't really shoot, and I don't like trust. I mean, they're not that far off from Virginia in terms of as a big favorite. How can you trust them? And they're laying 18.5 or something like that to Eastern Illinois, who I said previously is awful, bottom five in the country. But I just don't think Missouri should be favored to win by 20 against anybody right now. I think it's going to be gross. If you would prefer to take the under and just cover your eyes and not check the score, that's probably a better route than actually putting your hard-earned dollars on Eastern Illinois. But this game is going to be a slop fest. I cannot trust my Tigers until way, way further down the road and they've shown any evidence of life, because right now they were the worst Power 6 team in the net rankings today because they were like 272nd. They're really, really bad right now, and it's a bummer to talk about, but it's a winner to bet on, put it that way.
Well, as long as they're padding the wallet, Jim, before I let you go, I gotta ask, is there something, I know we're early and we're just about ready to start conference play, is there something that you guys have noticed that seems to be a little bit outside the mean when it comes to winners? I know we look back to that Big Ten ACC challenge, and home, if you were at home, you were a shoe-in. Is there that you're seeing?
It's been weird looking at a lot of the macro stuff this year. This weekend specifically, I think home teams went something like 53-37 against the spread on Saturday. But then on Sunday, home teams went 6-29 against the spread. Like it was a complete, I've never seen a split like that in a single day, just a total debacle for home teams. So I haven't gotten a full handle on that. A sort of obscure thing that we've noticed, but is relevant to results, is the foul rate is way down this year. Teams are, refs are just not calling fouls quite as much, which has helped unders, which has helped underdogs, because it's shortening games a little bit. It's preventing free points for certain teams. So it's something to keep an eye on. I think it's starting to get captured in a lot of the numbers, but early on it was throwing us for a loop because we were trying to figure out why efficiency was down, why tempo was down. And it's because teams weren't getting to shoot free throws, and without free points, it's a little harder to score efficiently. So perhaps that continues. I don't know if that's the most exciting answer to that question, Stu. I apologize, but
came to my mind. We had Eric Haslam on last week. So, I mean, you know, when you talk analytics, that's our bread and butter, man.
Oh yeah. Love it. Good.
Jim, what's your guys' schedule this week?
We are on, the show is on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So okay. We're doing more of the weekend stuff this year because the slates are just, they're full. I mean, there were 11 games tonight, Monday night, and I think Thursday there's like 12. So we just figured those will be the days we take off. There's not as much to discuss. Happy to answer questions on Twitter if people reach out that way when we don't have a show. But otherwise, yeah, the morning shows, that's the best way to get our input because we are putting them out there.
No, and it's truly phenomenal show. Three Man Weave, follow it. YouTube, Field of 68. Follow them on Twitter. You're stupid and you're a horrible person if you don't. Also, give these guys money. I mean, you go buy the shirts. The shirts are comfortable at home field. Donate money. You win big. Tip the dealer. Tip the dealer. That's what I say. Love your guys' work. Thank you, Jim, as always, for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. Always good to talk hoops.
Always, brother. And Spencer, you gonna be back later this week, or you're out Christmas caroling or something?
I mean, she's talking about taking me to look at the Christmas lights, but I think that's Saturday. Jesus so I think Christ. I got out of that one. So Friday it is.
I take my 3-year-old to go look at the Christmas lights. Jesus. All right. Have fun with that. All right. For Frosty the Snowman and Jim Root, thank you very much. Go check out Three Man Weave. Don't be a loser. All right. We'll see you next time.